Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show. Wonderful to be here with you on a Monday. What a Monday it is. After a great win by the Panthers, defeating, destroying, unmasking the Arizona Cardinals. And how about Cam Newton coming out? It was just such a fun game to watch. A lot of massacres yesterday, by the way. I mean, just a ton of massacres all over the NFL, but it was so much fun to watch that game and the energy and the excitement and, you know, the great reception by all those Panthers fans who were at that game, which was really surprising because, you know, you're playing in Glendale, Arizona. That was pretty cool. 704-570-1110 on Twitter, at Winterble Show, and at the Brett Winterble Show Facebook page. Oh, the poll numbers are atrocious. Atrocious, I tell you. President Joe Biden is sinking, and sinking quickly. This, according to a new Washington Post ABC News poll released yesterday, that found that Biden's approval rating has ticked down to a new low, 41%, 53% disapproving. In June, Joe Biden's approval rating stood at 50% after he began his presidency, with a slight majority approving of his performance. But that was before the big surrender in Afghanistan, the pullout, the terrorist attack that cost us 13 lives at the Abbey Gate. That was before a number of things, including becoming a scold. And that is what the president has become, let's be honest. He became a scold. He came out and he said, listen, the reason why people are sick is because of you people, and I've had it with you people, and this is the way it's going to be, and I'm going to push a Green New Deal, and I'm going to push socialized spending, and I'm going to push all this stuff that nobody's clamoring for. Nobody's clamoring for any of this stuff except progressives and, people who are sort of moderately liberal. The new poll also showed that 31% of Americans say Biden is keeping most of his major campaign promises. You mean like bringing us all together and unifying us and being president of all the people? Oh, that's why only 31%. That's why only 31% of Americans say Biden is keeping most of his campaign promises. 51% say he is not keeping his promises. And there is no better way to get people irate and angry than to create inflation, tell them it's transitory, tell them it's too bad, go buy something else if you want to get something online for Christmas, go pay $37 for a pound of bacon. I exaggerate. Don't call in with the Media Matters talking points. I don't need them. The fact of the matter is, this is a guy that is steering towards the iceberg in the ocean. And it's a bad, bad look, because you've got a hemorrhage taking place inside the administration. And it's a hemorrhage that's taken place between the president and the vice president of the United States. Now, as the Washington Post goes on to note, privately, many administration officials and allies contend that the state of affairs cannot get worse. Really, don't tempt the fates. You don't whistle past a graveyard, believing that Biden and the Democrats have hit their floor in negative approval ratings. That's according to people familiar with their thinking. Oh, that's a problem. The people who are inside the White House and inside the party are saying, surely we can't get any lower. Of course you can. You can always get lower. What happens if the Russians decide to make a deeper move on Ukraine? What happens if the Chinese decide to make a move on Taiwan? What happens if Hunter Biden is found in bed, passed out with a corpse? I mean, I don't know. It can always get worse. I don't want to see any of that happen, by the way. Unlike many in the media, I don't root for failure. I don't root for the collapse. I don't root for America getting weaker. But I am honest that it can always get worse. Space aliens can land. Are we allowed to say space aliens? I forgot. Demi Lovato said we couldn't say space aliens. I think she said we had to call them, was it extraterrestrials? I don't know what she said that they are. But nevertheless, by next year's elections, the top Democrats are saying, quote, the national environment will look dramatically different. That could be true in either direction. It could look dramatically different in that it's improved, or it can look dramatically different in that it's gotten much, much worse. They project confidence that the coronavirus pandemic will fade. Doubtful. Allowing Americans to return to their normal lives, and that supply chain bottlenecks and inflation will also fade, allowing the economy to improve. Tony Fox, former Secretary of Transportation in the Obama administration. But could they get a more obscure figure in the world of politics? Right? Was Buttigieg busy? Folks need to calm down. That's the main thing the Democratic Party needs to do. Stop bloviating over the sky is falling. It's not falling. In fact, I would disagree with you, Secretary Fox, with all due respect. They are absolutely papering over the fact that the sky is falling. They're not saying the sky is falling. They're acting like it's everything is cool. Hey, you know what I did? I just got back from COP26, and we're going to take $70 trillion, and we're going to fix the environment, and we got to build back better Biden plan. We're going to build back better. Nobody's clamoring for it. I have yet to run into a person. I don't even take phone calls from Democrats who call this program and say, what we need is a Build Back Better plan. Nobody even calls with that. Nobody even calls with it. It's not even close. Biden and his aides also face a credibility issue, making promises for months about improved conditions, only to have lingering issues resurface or worsen. Can you imagine, hypothetically here for a quick second, coming close to the microphone, this is very important, I want you to hear this. Could you imagine if Biden had taken his capital right out of the box and had pushed for tax increases, substantial tax increases, because remember, that's what they wanted to do early on. They wanted to make them retroactive to this year's tax filing deadline. That was Nancy Pelosi's plan back in September. They were going to try to push through tax hikes on the wealthiest people making more than $400,000, and then they were going to couch it by saying it was going to be retroactive to 2020, even though they were going to go into effect in 2021. Do you know what that would have done to this already shaky economy? We would have gone into full recession. And I'm confident that that's the case. But you have these problems keep coming back. Inflation and supply chain bottlenecks are not a transitory thing. Even the most optimistic prognosticators like Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen have said, well, it's going to be very interesting to see what's going to happen with the transitory inflation. We expect the prices to remain high until the fourth quarter of 2022. Perfect. Just in time for the midterm elections. Shazam. And if she is saying, with her all-knowing, all-knowledgeable, used to be the chairman of the Fed, ooh, could I have a cookie, please? I'm sitting here and I'm saying to myself, it's the prices will only last highly until the late part of 2022, and then things are going to get better. Really? Just in time for Republicans to take the House and the Senate? Suddenly the prices will come down? Are you kidding me? You guys may as well flip the sign that says vacancy at the White House for 2024 if that's the case. These problems are not going to fix themselves, and these problems are not going to be fixed. I'm being honest with you, folks. They are not going to be fixed with the Build Back Better plan. They're not. Because you have people that told you they were expert. They are not expert. They are posers.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 993 WVT. It is the Brett Winterville Show. The Kyle Rittenhouse trial is underway. Closing arguments are underway, and the prosecution's been making their case. We will continue to monitor this, although there's not a lot of new developments in this because they're rehashing the case. And many of us have been following that case closely, but we'll keep you up to date on what it is that's going on. Joe Biden to be signing the infrastructure bill today. That's the big win that they've decided that they want to celebrate today. But they've got some hemorrhaging going on inside the administration. Vice President Harris and her allies are reportedly frustrated with the president for dumping politically fraught issues in her lap, including infamously the ongoing illegal immigration crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border. They are consistently sending her out there on losing issues in the wrong situations for her skill set, summed up one former top Harris aide to CNN. Other aides say the vice president should have asked for better defined responsibilities at the start of the administration, but has not done so out of fear of appearing disloyal to the president. Well, how would you asking for assignments and duties make you appear to be disloyal to the president? You're trying to take a load off of his, you know, cart there, right? So he tasks you with, what did he task her with? Let's recap. The border, she asked to be tasked with the push for the People Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. She asked for that responsibility. But you know what she was not asked to do? She was not asked to do anything with infrastructure. Nothing with infrastructure. And here's the thing, and I am being an honest broker here. I'm not a partisan in this regard. I'm really going to assess fairly what it is she's tried to do. You would think if you had a senator who has relationships with senators, especially Democrat senators like Kyrsten Sinema, Joe Manchin, that you would be able as president to deploy the vice president who was a senator from an important state like California to go have conversations with people in the Senate to try to push the Build Back Better initiative. Instead, Vice President Harris has gone over to France, talked about inflation. She has now gone to New Jersey. They were eating cake one day, 3-4 weeks ago. She went to Honduras to go find out about illegal immigration. And really, that's about it. I mean, she hasn't had much to show for this. Now, the White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, has jumped in to defend Kamala Harris, saying, "For anyone who needs to hear it, at VP is not only a vital partner to at POTUS, but a bold leader who has taken on key important challenges facing the country, from voting rights to addressing root causes of migration to expanding broadband." Doesn't that kind of undercut the message there? She's fought to expand broadband. That's not really fair to her. That already passed. That was the infrastructure thing. The revelations emerged days after a USA Today Suffolk University poll showed President Biden has an approval rating of 37.8% and a new low for Kamala Harris, who's got an approval number at 27.8%. So now you're starting to hear pushback from people who are saying this is an example of racism and sexism, and they're not allowing the vice president to be fully engaged and involved on the big issues. One rumor running around inside, now get a load of this, running around inside D.C. is that Joe Biden has so wearied of Vice President Harris that he is actively looking to appoint her to the Supreme Court. That would not be a promotion, by the way. That would not be a promotion. This is a very complex and complicated situation, made all the more complex by Sally Amorova, who came out in the last couple of days and said, "Hey, you know how you guys like your banking and your banking privacy? Well, if I have my way as the controller of the currency, there'll be no more private bank accounts. Go.
Imagine what would it be like if instead of being just a public option for deposit banking, this would be actually the full transition. In other words, there will be no more private bank deposit accounts, and all of the deposit accounts will be held directly at the Fed. And there are very interesting implications from that thought experiment, for example, with the much more direct and proactive tools of monetary policy, like helicopter money, which is, considered radical, primarily because economists really do not know how to manage the issue of what will happen in the inflationary environment when the central bank needs to contract the supply of money. How is it politically feasible for the central bank to effectively take money away from people's accounts?
What?
And my next guest
she wants to just completely blow up private banking. What a great idea. Wow. And they say that this administration is kind of out of the mainstream. Go figure. Don't you want all your banking to be controlled by public institutions like the Federal Reserve?
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Reserve. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Let's take a quick phone call here. We got Jim queuing up. Jim, as you stand out there on the West Coast, are you still seeing the big backup of freighters and shippers and things like that out at sea, my friend?
I guess it's down to 67.
Oh, gosh. Okay, 67.
Did you see that thing on 60 Minutes last night?
Part of it, yes.
Yeah, so they're trying to say that a lot of this stuff is about, that they're in the containers, the spies are in the containers, and that the booking process is the problem with the truckers getting in to get it. There's truckers available. So I have a solution.
What is your solution?
I have a solution. What they do is go on Craigslist and say, like on Storage Wars, you put a price on the container box, on the metal container, and say, this is how much you can give us as for bid, and then go and open it up, and whatever's in there is yours. And everybody can drive in their POVs and their trucks, bid on
no.
Put a number on the storage.
Jeez,
container.
No. No.
No?
No, that's mayhem. No, look, I need PVC pipe. I got to put PVC pipe in my yard.
By the way, I met the guy that you used to rent your rototiller from, by the way.
What?
You rented a rototiller for your yard in Encinitas, right?
No, I never lived in Encinitas, and I never rented a rototiller. I own a rototiller, man, all right?
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I don't know. Are you okay, Jim? Are we all right today?
No. I'm good.
You're casting aspersions on me.
By the way, well done to the Panthers for applying, following the science and applying Newtonian physics to their game.
Oh, Newtonian physics! You see what he did there? Wow.
That's not a show killer.
No, you didn't kill the show. It was just, you're like a Super Bowl that I just bought at the supermarket. It's bouncing all over the room. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all over the place. But I did call in. I want to call in about the podcast.
Yes.
I want to do a promotional for the podcast.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, I have a vested interest now that I'm, the Veterans Day podcast is the flagship of the podcast site. I'm named in the text. Unfortunately, it says Jim of San Diego, and let Jim the Show Killer talk to Matt and Brett about. And it says, I don't know if this is an autocorrect thing, but it says a valuable valuable Marine.
Oh, so like merchant becomes valuable, I guess in the text. That's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. So who writes it? Does anybody?
Well, I can't disclose that information under penalty of perjury.
Oh, that's okay. As long as my name's up in lights on the podcast.
It is up in lights. People walk through here each day and ask me, when will Jim appear? And I tell him, it's kind of like Punxsutawney Phil, you know? We don't know. Will we have 6 more weeks of summer or will we have 6 more weeks of winter?
Hey.
We don't know.
Hey, we had an interesting reaction out of coach about that he might appear at Picante's for lunch, right?
He might, yes. That's a possibility. I think you're going to be responsible for making it out to Charlotte to do that. You know, I don't know that he can send a freighter for you or a shipping container, but,
You haven't talked to Boomer yet? We're going to rent a pink Cadillac and I'm going to dress like Elvis.
Holy cow. This guy, you see what he's doing? I have a feeling that Jim's trying to take the entire station over. I'm going to run that by Boomer and see if we signed off on that or not.
Oh, okay.
Well, listen, you are a terrific merchant caller. I mean, you're a very valuable caller, and we appreciate you being here.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, and everybody go to the podcast. You can have total tactile control over Brent there.
100% of the time. Way to go, Jim. 704-570-1110. Now, you know, when we get Boomer's traffic report, I'm going to find out if he's going to go drive a pink Cadillac with Jim from SD. That'll be kind of fun. Be kind of a fun Saturday afternoon, I think, for everybody involved. I'm going to want some camera footage of that. It's going to be terrific. We'll have to see how it all shakes out. Coming up in a matter of minutes, Jeffrey Lord is going to join us as we speak. The most unpopular human being in all of Washington, D.C., Chuck Schumer, is just moping and yelling and exhorting there at the White House with the glasses all the way down on the bottom of his chin because they're going to sign this infrastructure bill. We'll keep you apprised of all that, plus the Rittenhouse defense. Mark Richards is offering his closing arguments. We'll monitor it all, plus take...
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
your phone calls. What a perfectly fitting bump for the Biden administration. It is the same as it ever was. It's really incredible. Bad news coming for you people who are concerned about the direction of the country moving forward and in the next election cycle. Guess what? The release of the 2020 census has already resulted in a reshuffling of the 435 seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. One state, Texas, has gained 2 seats. 5 states, Florida, Colorado, Montana, North Carolina, and Oregon, have all gained 1 seat. And 7 states, California, Ohio, New York, Illinois, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, have each lost 1 seat in the Congress. But the 2020 census is also documenting population shifts within states. And so you want to guess what the Democrats are doing in the states that they control in terms of the legislatures? They're getting rid of Republican seats. No, that's right. That's right. They're getting rid of Republican seats. In New York, for instance, where Democrats control both houses of the state legislature, they're expected to play gerrymandering hardball, resulting in the likely loss of 5 Republican seats in New York. That would be a loss that the GOP would be hard-pressed to compensate for in states where it controls both houses of the state legislature, even if GOP leadership were inclined to play gerrymandering games. But they don't. They don't see the Republicans don't do this same sort of stuff en masse when they have that opportunity. So what you now have is Republicans who are unwilling to play those games, but the Democrats are kind of doing their own thing in that regard. So what do we do? How do we do? How do we handle this? What's the answer? Well, there's not really much of an answer. There's not much of an answer. Since New York Democrats are plenty aware of the current situation, the final map that they enact will be to create a 23-3 Democratic advantage inside the state of New York. So I think what has to happen now is you have to try to pressure the states where Republicans control both houses of the state legislature to press their advantages as well, to make sure that that's the case. Keep in mind, Democrats maintain a narrow majority in the current 117th Congress. 221 Democrats, 213 Republicans with 1 vacancy. Recent public opinion polls show that Republicans have a significant advantage over Democrats in the generic partisan preferences, leading many pundits to anticipate the possibility of a GOP red wave in the 2022 elections, similar to the 2010 Tea Party red wave that gave Republicans a net gain of 63 seats in the House and gave the Republicans a majority. Other big news happening today, finding out that Leaky Leahy, Pat Leahy, who I think has been in the Senate of the United States representing Vermont since Washington was president. I'm lying. He's only been in the Senate since 1972. But you have Leaky Leahy. He has decided he's going to say no mas, no mas. He's going to throw the towel in. He is not running for re-election for a 75th term. He is he's going to retreat to his apple orchards and go absolutely nuts with the time and relaxation. So this is all going to be a very interesting sort of turn of events and state of affairs. And the question then becomes, all right, so who else is going to decide they're going to make a run for the border here? Who else is going to try to get out of here, relatively speaking, intact? And that's a big question, because what usually happens is people bail, and before you know it, it's over. Oh, look, it's the vice president speaking ahead of the bipartisan infrastructure bill signing. Okay, can I just ask a question? What is it outside right now? Probably like 59, 60 degrees outside. Okay, it looks like there's like a 25-mile-an-hour wind in Washington, D.C. It's clearly cold. You know, you can look and be like, that's cold air. And they got the poor vice president, Kamala Harris. I am somebody who does not envy the position she is in, standing there having to give a speech in the wind. Why are you not doing this? You know what I think it is? I think Biden is trying to give the Republicans the flu or a cold. What are you making them sit outside for? What are we doing? You can have it inside. You got enough room inside to do your thing. Make them all sit outside. And what time of day is it? 3:55 in the afternoon. You know what that means, Josh? The ones that haven't already hit the cocktail circuit are looking at their watches going, when do we get to hit the cocktail circuit? Or, you know what I'm guessing? I'm guessing some of them are old school enough. They got a hip flask with them. You think, by the way, I can't tell from this angle. Bernie Sanders, is he wearing the stupid brown jacket and the mittens? I can't open this flask with these mittens. The mittens are too thick. I can't do it. Can I have a little Hennessy? What are you drinking there, Bernie? Yak. I got the yak. I got the yak and the Hennessy. One for me. One for me, one for Leaky Leahy, who couldn't be here. No, he didn't die. He just says he's not going to run for re-election. Oh, God, I'm sorry. That's terrible. So they're doing this outside, which I don't understand, and they're split-screening the Rittenhouse trial. We live in this incredibly, unbelievably bizarre world right now in terms of the politicking. And what is it that everybody cares about? They all care about the same thing. This is cut number 17. I know Vice President Harris is talking about the Build Back Better plan, but this was her explanation over the weekend for how it is that the big social spending program is going to actually reduce inflation.
So on the inflation piece. We, as I said earlier, fully appreciate the significance of things costing more. It's a big deal. And so we are doing what we can, making it probably one of our highest priorities. I talk to the president about it often. One of our highest priorities. We need to bring costs down for the American people. And in particular, for working people and working families. And again, I'll go back to my previous point. That is why we have been pushing so hard since the beginning for Build Back Better, because it is absolutely and almost uniquely designed to do just that, to make it easier for people to live. And for most Americans, making it easier for them to live means bringing the cost of living down, especially for essential services.
All we have to do is transfer the cost of child care and paid time off to the federal government. That's not going to fix inflation. 704-570-1110. Jeffrey Lord is next. News Talk 1110.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
3WBT. News Talk 1110-993-WBT. It's the Brett Witterbull Show. Great to be here with you. Happy to welcome to the program, right out of the box, my very good friend, Jeffrey Lord. It is wonderful to have you here. Jeff does incredible work over at the American Spectator, at thejeffreylord.com, and of course, his tremendous book, Swamp Wars, Trump versus the Old Order. Jeff, good to have you back, my friend.
Hello there, my friend Brett. How are you?
I'm well. I'm a little.
Got that turkey yet?
No, I did buy my turkey. Yes, I've got it secreted away in case people want to come and take my turkey. But I gotta ask you this question. I'm really puzzled. You were in the White House, a very successful administration of Ronald Reagan, and I'm looking at this. We have an outdoor bill signing ceremony at the White House. It looks like it's about 57 degrees. And it's basically almost nighttime. What is going on with this infrastructure package? This just feels like a comedy of errors to me, Jeff.
Yeah, there's so many mistakes being made on so many levels in so many different issue areas that by now the Biden administration is just gaining this incredible reputation for utter incompetence. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it could be something as simple as this.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be something more complex like Afghanistan or the border, the price of gas, inflation. I mean, it's just abundantly clear these people do not know what they're doing, and the American people are paying a price for it. You know, Brett, the other day I live here in the middle of Pennsylvania, I was in the local Giant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I go on TV, I get recognized on occasion. And this couple stops me out of the blue. They were so upset about what they were paying for their groceries.
Oh, unbelievable.
I mean, you know, you can't make this stuff up.
Mm-mm. You can't. And the polls reflect this in an abundance, okay? We're seeing these numbers that came out yesterday. There are new polls coming out on a regular basis. He's at 41% approval. The vice president's at 28% approval. This, to me, feels like an administration not just in crisis, but in free fall. Am I misreading that?
No, you are not misreading that at all. Today I brought up the front page of the Washington Post, and there was a front page story about how Democrats are just petrified about the 2022 election mm-hmm. because they think they're going to be wiped out. Mm-hmm. They've got polls out there that show that Republicans are winning by 10 or more points. In these generic matchup elections, House elections, and all this kind of thing. There's a reason for it. Because, I mean, first of all, I will say this. There's a historical pattern that presidents generally don't do well
right.
in their first set of off-year elections. But that can always be influenced, for better or worse, by how they've conducted themselves. And just everywhere you look here, it's a disaster. I noticed my friend Byron York mm-hmm. has a column in the Washington Examiner, in which he called it a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
I think that's about right.
It sure is. Look, Pat Leahy announces today he's not running for re-election. I would have figured they would have had to carry him out. I mean, he reminds me of a Robert Byrd style person who had would never leave the Senate of his own volition.
Well, that's right. So the question is there a Republican? I will say this. My dad's mom grew up in Vermont, and in the day, mm-hmm. they were friends of the Coolidge family, Calvin Coolidge
wow.
and all of this.
Wow.
And in the day, Vermont was rock-solid Republican.
Mm-hmm.
It is no longer.
No.
I mean, this is the place that sent Bernie Sanders to the United
yes.
States Senate. I mean, it is a very left-leaning state, so... I'm not really sure that that there's a Republican there that could take on whomever and win.
Yeah,
and the Republicans.
And while we're at it, let's welcome Beto to the race for governor of the state of Texas. This is going to be this is going to be a script that writes itself.
You have to be old enough to remember the name Harold Stassen.
Yes, wow, that's the way back machine there, Jeffrey Lord. Finally, so this is going to wrap up. We got the bill signing. President Biden is speaking. It's 300 degrees below zero outside, and they're doing an event. But now he's going to go have his summit with Xi. It's going to be a virtual summit. They'll be hooked up on the on the Zoom or whatever they're going to do. Are you expecting anything to come out of this? What are we thinking? Because Xi has gotten very aggressive. The PLA is incredibly belligerent, and certainly Taiwan's got to be a little bit concerned.
Yeah. I mean, there are all kinds of issues here. I mean, how they're treating the Uyghur Muslims,
mm-hmm.
the whole squelching of pro-democracy stuff in Hong Kong, and need we forget investigating how that mysterious thing called the coronavirus
right.
got launched from a Chinese lab.
Yeah.
It would be helpful to know exactly what happened. And, of course, they're not cooperating on this. So there's a ton of these kind of issues out there. And the problem, of course, and Joe Biden, and not to mention Taiwan, you're right. And the problem here is that Joe Biden, with Son Hunter and all that, has fairly fully compromised himself. And I'm not expecting much progress here. I think these people are just going to blow him off.
Final question for you. Always generous with your time, Jeff. We all know that Tip O'Neill famously said that all politics is local. We also understand that almost all politics is economics. And we're seeing this inflation that you referenced with the conversations you've got with people at the supermarket and things like that. We watched the challenges that President Reagan faced early in that first term, inflationary issues, high rates, things like that. Do you have any sense that this is actually transitory, or do you think this is going to bedevil the Democrats all the way into 2022, 2023?
Yes, I don't think it's transitory at all. And this goes to their competence and their understanding of basic economics. I mean, they're doing everything wrong here. There's no indication whatsoever that they're going to stop. And this inflation is going to go on, and it's going to get worse. And as James Carville, Bill Clinton's guru, used to say, it's the economy, stupid, and that is correct.
It sure is. Jeffrey Lord, appreciate you making time for us today. It's always wonderful to catch up with you, my friend.
You bet. You too, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your audience.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. That's Jeffrey Lord. I'm Brett Winterbull, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Coming up here in just a couple of minutes, I want to dive into a couple of other things that are out there happening right now, including what about the people who are banning the unvaccinated from their Thanksgiving get-togethers? This is curious, but I see a silver lining.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Thanksgiving is right around the corner, and you know what that means. Heated conversations and fights over politics and sports and whatnot. But there may be an answer to this. Vaccinated people are banning the unvaccinated from Thanksgiving festivities. Now, let that sink in. 60% of vaccinated individuals say they are banning unvaccinated family members from the seasonal festivities. That, according to a study released on Saturday by one poll. A slightly higher number, 63%, said they are not comfortable having unvaccinated relatives at their parties. 14% of those surveyed said they would never get the vaccine because of concerns about its safety and side effects. So think about this for a second. Would you turn away a loved one, someone you cared about, from the Thanksgiving dinner table because they were unvaccinated? Now, many of you, I know, will probably say yes. Would you be willing to set up, say, a table out on the porch or in the yard for them to enjoy the meal? Like, would you be willing to maybe do that? I think it's probably a very small number of people, probably the same number of people that would appreciate being out in the middle of the Rose Garden at the White House in mid-November when the sun is going down and Joe Biden is trying to sign legislation with a pen and his fingers are freezing. I mean, this is really terrible. I guess, you know, this is what the case is. Well, by the way, congratulations. The bipartisan $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill has now been signed by President Joe Biden, so we can get ready to go and get going. But the unvaccinated versus the vaccinated. Would you ban somebody from your home because they were unvaccinated? Would you ban somebody from your home if their spouse was unvaccinated or kid? Are you going to go back to the old school model? Because I think I know what's happening here. I think there's an undercurrent, and I'm not trying to be a contrarian, but here's the thing. Remember what happened a year ago. Remember we were told by Tony Fauci, well, I don't think you need to get together for Thanksgiving. You don't want to infect each other, and you need to just kind of stay home and eat your turkey dinner, eat your Swanson's pre-made turkey dinner, your TV dinner, and watch Willard Scott and the parade, or whatever it is that you're going to watch. Willard Scott is deceased, my friend. But it doesn't matter. It was my peak in the 80s. So the question is, did you kind of get comfortable with the separation of the anxiety that happens with family members, right? Because there are people, I think there are people who said, you know what, this model last year, where like nobody gets together, this isn't so bad. Like if I'm eating with my immediate family in my house, I don't have to hear the same stories over and over again about how I burned our old house down. We don't have to listen to a drunken whiskey fight. We don't have to have any of that kind of stuff. We could just all enjoy ourselves and say hello on the phone or FaceTime. Like, does that maybe serve as a better model? Probably not. But then there's the part of me that thinks there may be something much, much, much more sinister at play here. Let's say, hypothetically, you've been invited to somebody's Thanksgiving dinner. Now, you didn't go last year, and you haven't really gotten a lot more excited about going in that intervening year. Is it possible? Is it in the realm of the possible that even though you might be vaccinated, you might tell your relations that you're unvaccinated and you're not getting that darn shot? Now, you know that you're okay. You've got a pass. You've got the MNRA, mRNA. You've got all that happening. And you're just saying, you know, I didn't get that shot yet, so I'm sorry I can't be there this year. I guess I'll just have to sit at home in my house, not in traffic, eating what I want and watching football. I mean, maybe I think there are people who will probably just go that route. I think there are people who will say, I'm sorry, I can't make it this year, but it was a lot of fun visiting with you, and I'll FaceTime you. I'm wondering if that's not a factor. I'm wondering if people haven't said, because keep in mind, you had a natural buffer form a year ago. And what was the natural buffer? You had COVID, which meant you didn't have to go to people's houses or they didn't have to come to your house where you would have political fights after that election that got nasty. And everybody knows that there are people that are in the other party. I don't care what party you're in or what party they're in, but you know there are going to be people. There's going to be one Weisenheimer or two Weisenheimers. That's an official term in politics, who are going to be sitting there at the table trying to goad you. And now you don't have to see them. So the Biden voters don't have to hear from the Trump people. Trump people don't have to hear from the Biden people. They don't have to do any of that sort of stuff. So I'm just wondering if that's how this is kind of going to shake down and break down, you know, whether or not people are just going to say, forget it. And I can't go. Oh, I woke up with a temperature. I can't come to the darn it. Can you send me something? Man, we'll try to do it next year. Oh, wait, next year is going to be another election. What happens then? How's that going to work? Scotty, you're up first. Scotty, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brett. Love you, man. Enjoyed everything you've done since you've been here in town.
Thank you, buddy.
And I like all the work you've done with Rush, too. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Scott.
I just wanted to say, regarding what you're talking about right now, I've got a situation. It's gotten so bad with some people. I have a situation in my extended family where my sister-in-law, God bless her, will not allow her son, who lives and works in Ohio, will not allow him to come home to his own home for Thanksgiving because he refuses to get the vaccine.
Wow.
That's how bad it's got. His own mother.
Wow.
Can you believe that? I mean, that's just, it's insane.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
So what's the fix? I mean, is he just going to have to spend Thanksgiving all by himself in his place? I mean, is that how that's going to work?
Well,
I don't want to out you if there's like secret information. You know, I don't want to out
you. His father, who is estranged from his mom, lives up in Ohio in the same area. So
I got you.
I assume he's going to spend Thanksgiving with him.
Sure.
But he was wanting to come home with his new wife and his new baby and introduce everybody and see the family. And so now he's not going to be able to because of that.
That is so harsh. I mean, that's so tough. That is so tough.
Yeah, just pray for him, man.
I will.
Crazy.
I will. Look, it's so sad that we've gotten to this place with this heavy divide. And, you know, we're such an amazing country that has such great potential, Scotty. And the idea that, you know. Now, look, I understand. And again, full disclosure, I got the shot. So, you know, I'm not unvaxxed. I got the shot. But that's tough to see these divides. Now, is it possible? And I don't want to throw Scotty off here. Is it possible? You know, maybe he got the shot. He just doesn't want to go home. I mean, stranger things have happened. Stranger things have happened. People sometimes call in sick to work. They come back with a sunburn. You know what I'm saying? Where were you all weekend?
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Brett Winterbull Show, the President of the United States has signed the infrastructure bill into law. Simultaneously, the closing arguments are underway in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. The defense is making their case to the jury. Then there will be a rebuttal by the prosecution to try to kind of clean up whatever they got to clean up. And then, you know what'll happen? The jury will get the instructions and they'll start deliberating, and we'll see what ends up shaking out here in this regard. I don't think this is going to be a long deliberation, by the way. I think it's going to be decided quickly one way or the other. Earlier today, Steve Bannon surrendered. After he was indicted on charges of contempt of Congress, the first person since 1983 to face those charges. On his way in, he said to the folks gathered outside the courthouse that they need to pay attention to the signal, not the noise. Some guy was running around behind him with a sign that said coup plotter. Right behind him, he had his coup plotter as a sign back there. So, you know, we've now got this situation unfolding pretty much in real time, and we'll see what ends up happening. Because here's where it gets funky. If he gets indicted and then he gets convicted of, if he gets convicted of obstruction or contempt, and he does jail time, right? How does that make him talk? Because if he does his time, if he says, okay, I'll do 2 years, or I'll do a year, or I'll do 18 months, how can they compel him to testify? If he's doing jail time for it, can they charge him again for the same thing? Probably not. They'd probably have to wait till he got out and then try to take this thing all the way back around again. And there's a fear actually setting in with many of the Democrats. And one of the things that they're very worried about, that they're very, very worried about, is that coming up, if you have an election in which the Republicans take over the House, that the investigations are going to go bye-bye. The investigations will go away. You will not see these investigations proceed into January 6th. In fact, it was Stephanie Grisham who was talking about this. This is cut number four. Stephanie Grisham, you remember she was a communications director for the White House when President Trump was in there. Here's what she told CNN over the weekend, cut four.
I think this makes the 2022 elections more vital than ever, because I have a feeling, knowing them like I do, he's going to tell everyone to stall. And that if the House takes over with his rubber stamp candidates that he wants to get in, the special committee will then go away.
That all depends. It all depends. The reality is, this could maybe be, I mean, the J6 committee could be done with their work by the time you get to the 2022 election, couldn't it? Or is it possible that Shifty Schiff will want to just continue this forever and ever and ever and ever? We were talking earlier about the story that I saw over at Newsmax.com about the fact that people don't want the unvaxxed coming to their Thanksgiving and holiday get-togethers. Let's jump back out of the phones, talk to folks who have been on hold. Mike is up next. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brad. I really enjoy your show, and I loved it. I know it was a lot of work for you when you were doing double duty between 12 and 6 on EIB and then over here.
A lot of fun. And happy to have gotten to do that for sure, my friend.
Well, I'm certain. Good feather in your cap there.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to give you a kind of a twist on this.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I have both been vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
and she has a nephew, and the nephew and the nuclear family there
mm-hmm.
are adamant anti-vaxxers.
Ooh.
And so the I think it was girlfriend or fiance of the nephew
mm-hmm.
They had a child, and her nephew invited her to go over to see the baby.
Sure.
But the mother and the mother's family
mm-hmm.
Did not want the child exposed to anyone who had been vaccinated.
Wow. Wow, so they didn't want the vaccinated person to come into the unvaxxed house.
Yeah, I know. It's the direct opposite of what you would think would happen.
Yes.
I don't know where their foundation was for thinking that something could happen
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to the child. But I think that, that type of thought might be more prevalent
mm-hmm.
Than you would think on the surface.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's interesting. I mean, I imagine there's all sorts of iterations like this where you could see this play out. Now, I could understand it. So if you were unvaxxed and they said to you, you can't come to my house until you get the vaccine, you actually would be able to do something to then be allowed to go to their house. Now, if you're vaxxed, is there no chance of return at that point, or do you have to wait until it wears off?
I guess there's no recourse. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't unvax
yeah.
yourself.
Wow.
But, fortunately, I think smarter heads came in, and she was able to eventually see the baby. Right. And so that worked out well enough. But, you know, it just human nature, sure. You know, common sense, and doesn't always play into it.
That's true.
So anyway, and before we were vaccinated,
yes,
and that was before the vaccination came out.
Right.
On my side of the family, mm-hmm. My brother and his wife had a child, and they were very protective, mm-hmm. and didn't want anyone coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I respected that, sure. and I respect the anti-vaxxers,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, as far as their choice whether to be vaccinated or mm-hmm, not. Mm-hmm. I just didn't understand the logic as to, okay, you've been vaccinated,
yeah,
so I don't want you to contaminate,
yeah,
my my child with the vaccination.
Listen, I'll go back to my original example. Maybe they just set that up because they didn't want to see certain people where they're like, hey, you've been vaccinated. We don't want you coming around the house. It may have no basis,
yeah,
in reality.
And I can assure you in this case that was not the case.
No, I got you.
She's the favorite aunt of the nephew.
Uh-huh.
And she had actually never met the mother of the child,
sure,
and obviously not the child. So I don't think it,
yeah,
was an exclusionary thing on their part.
Well, I hope we build some bridges here. Everybody gets to get together and get to see the baby. That's great stuff. Mike, such kind words, and I appreciate you coming by, my friend. Thank you so much.
Well, certainly. Thank you, Brett. You have a good rest of the day.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Show, buddy.
WBT 1110 AM and 99.3 FM welcomes the 28th annual Charlotte Auto Show to the Charlotte Convention Center this week, Thursday, November 18th through Sunday, November 21st. Experience dozens of manufacturers displaying their latest makes and models to compare and contrast, save time, and shop in a family-friendly, low-pressure environment. There's Luxury Lane, Electric Avenue. Bring the kids and let them enjoy the family fun zone. Visit charlotteautoshow.com for tickets and event details, charlotteautoshow.com. And we'll see you over there at the auto show. It's going to be awesome. Tom is up next on the program. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Brett.
Hi.
Hey, you know, my family's decided not to participate in all this insanity.
Oh.
We just live our lives.
Well, that's good stuff.
We had 19 people at our Christmas dinner last year.
Get a load of that. That's bold.
I mean, well, now, what we've done really, though, is we've gotten COVID and gotten over it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I mean,
mm-hmm,
it's the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, people. This is nuts.
So what do you think of these people that are...
seasonal flu has been killing people by the,
yeah,
tens of thousands every,
yeah,
year for the last 100 years, and nobody's freaked out.
No, well...
Now, all of a sudden, the media has gotten a hold of this thing and blown it completely out of proportion.
Well, you know, I think it's an interesting take. So you guys have just... You've opted out of COVID, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got it.
Yeah.
We got over it.
Right.
My wife got it, and she's my wife's got all the reasons why you shouldn't, why everybody should be worried about it. She's diabetic.
Uh-huh.
She's got COPD. She's been on oxygen for 12 years.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she's got emphysema.
Yeah.
And, you know, the secret is don't go to the hospital. They kill you there.
Well, I mean, I imagine that's one man's opinion on that. But here's the thing I would say about it. The reason why it's a story is we've plowed billions and billions and billions of dollars. We've had trillions of dollars in economic damage. You know, it's wreaked havoc with the entire world, including us in the United States. And when it comes to the COVID issue, because I don't do a lot of the COVID numbers, things like that. What I have talked about is the culpability China faces, and I have demanded, in fact, I demanded, I'm proud of this fact, from the earliest stages, I'm talking about April and May of 2020, I demanded a settlement conference with China paying reparations to the rest of the world. China ought to be put absolutely in a receivership. We ought to take all of their pieces and things, liquidate them, and make the countries whole that were hurt so badly by the Chinese Communist Party. And so that's the perspective I take from it. We've been robbed by yet another dirty, awful, rotten communist regime. Communism is the proof that the devil exists, because nobody of any goodwill could possibly ever flirt with the notion of being a communist, embracing that ideology. It has been responsible for the deaths of hundreds of millions of people. And I'll tell you what, it's a tragic thing. And she is going to get the soft soap of the century from President Biden. He's not going to call him to account because there's no way to enforce it. If Joe Biden had spent the time he spent at the COP, you know what, 26, what he could have done was say, let's get these countries together. Let's be a unified front. Go to China and say, start writing checks, Xi, or nobody's trading with you anymore. And we're pulling our businesses out. That's what needed to happen. That will never happen. Because let's be honest, most of the countries of the world, they're either sympathetic or cowardly when it comes to dealing with communist regimes. And I don't blame the poor people of China. The poor people of China are victims. They are hostages. I'm talking about the corrupt, decrepit regime that is based upon the Communist Party of China. End of conversation. Dirty little secret, MSNBC anchor claims Americans can afford more expensive groceries. Stephanie Ruhle, one of probably the most unlikable people on television, has come under fire for saying it's, quote, a dirty little secret that Americans can afford expensive groceries amid a 30-year high in inflation because households saved money by not going out during the COVID pandemic. Ruhle told NBC's Sunday Today that the high inflation rate and rising cost of food across the country has been predicted and should be put in perspective. Now, bear in mind, this is a woman that owns like a $10 million apartment house in New York City. She's connected into Wall Street. She's got a fabulous income, so she can bear it. But normal people, regular people, working people, people that shop, you know, at the different supermarkets and Walmart and what have you, they can't bear this burden. This inflation isn't a joke. Only the elites like this person and her family are able to weather these sorts of storms because they're fabulously rich and they vote D. And so the fact of the matter is, Ruhle immediately faced backlash online. Some people referring to her as Stephanie Antoinette, a nod to the notorious Marie Antoinette's extravagant and luxurious lifestyle. Conservative media commentator Nicholas Fondacaro slammed Ruhle as an inflation airhead. But she's telling you, you can weather the storm. It's not that expensive. I'll tell you what, people ought to be taking pictures of their grocery bills and tweeting the matter. She's on Twitter. I'd be tweeting pictures of my receipts and saying, yeah, how do I weather this one, Steph? How do I weather this one? It is crazy time. That's 2 hours down. We got another great hour straight ahead. Bo Thompson comes by, a special guest at 5:30 as well. News Talk 1110, 99.3.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
WBT. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. I am Brett Winterbull. Great to be here with you. Our phone number, 704-570-1110. Hour number three underway. Bo Thompson comes by. In the next segment, later on this hour, we'll visit with somebody who's got some interesting stuff going on. Michael Letts, he's the founder of Invest USA. It's a charitable organization that donates bulletproof vests to police and other first responders. We'll talk to him about the current situation involving crime in America and how it's polling out there. Also taking your phone calls, as I mentioned, with the phone number. You know that number already. So I have this thing happening tomorrow, and I want to kind of throw this out here. Joe Biden, President Biden, has signed the $1 trillion infrastructure package. He just signed that into law. They did an outdoor event at the White House. It was signed about 45 minutes or an hour ago there at the White House. So that I think it's 1.75, when you add it all up, that infrastructure, the bipartisan infrastructure bill, has passed. So let me tell you a little bit about something that I'm doing tomorrow, which is tied into this whole bipartisan infrastructure deal. So from time to time, I am tasked with attending an event at my alma mater. I went to Emerson. It's a big communication school, a lot of journalism and political communication and things like that that goes on at that school. And needless to say, it's based in Boston, and I am not a liberal. So what happens is I get tapped every so often by folks there to say, hey, can you come in and press the conservative case for X, right? We did it during the election. I did it during the election. So I'm basically like professor for a day, okay? So I did it during the election last year. I did it during the time period that I was filling in for Rush as a guide host because they found that to be a very interesting thing. Talk about the political communications of a new administration. And now, tomorrow, I'm going to be gathered, and it's going to end up being me versus like 25 people because that's what ends up happening. And I'm going to indict essentially this BBB, this Build Back Better plan, because I don't think it's worth what they're selling it as. It's just another bunch of spending that's going to result in inflation. And I think we all know that. If you have stuff being inflated in value, why would you pour more money into that marketplace? Why would you add more money to it? And what has happened in the last 3 or 4 weeks has been a very kind of sketchy approach to convincing you that the Build Back Better plan is the way to go. Because what the White House is doing now, I'm not talking about roads and bridges and broadband and all that. I'm talking about the social or socialist plan that they're trying to push as the next iteration. So what they're trying to do is this. They're trying to tell you that if we nationalize, essentially is what they're talking about doing, if we nationalize childcare, if we nationalize pre-K, if we nationalize those sorts of elements, family leave, you name it, then what's going to happen is you're going to have more money available to spend on stuff that is not paid for by the government. No, you heard what I'm saying. This is what their sales pitch now is. It's an incredible sales pitch. They're saying, well, if we pay for pre-K for you or childcare for you, then that's money you get to spend on other things. If we pay for, other programs, family leave, elder care, then that leaves you free to spend money on other stuff. How does that fix inflation? How does that fix inflation at all? So you're going to either put more money into the economy by pumping it from the government and paying for somebody's pre-K, somebody's childcare, somebody's family leave, somebody's elder care. Or you're going to do a wealth transfer to those same people like we've seen play out here with the so-called child tax credit. That's not a child tax credit. It's a pay-for-play scheme that's been put into effect. And I don't fault anybody for taking advantage of it. If you take advantage of it, it's being offered by the government. But I'm going to make the case tomorrow that the reality is leave the economy alone. Stop it with pumping money into the economy. You've already overinflated the balloon. Let it come back down to earth. Let us figure out what has to happen, and let's make this country get back on its feet by its own industry. What happens when you pump money into the economy is you inflate the balloon bigger. Okay? If you go and you put heavy taxes on people, what do? You crimp the supply of money that's out there. You absorb more of it into the federal government. If you decide you're going to subsidize something, you're going to warp the market. And essentially, that's what we're talking about doing, warping the market. You know all those job shortages that you've seen that have been out there, right? You can't find enough people to go work at the restaurant, can't find enough people to go and work at a retail establishment or this or that. Now the sales pitch coming from the Biden administration is, well, you can't find those people because they don't have childcare where their kids can be babysat all day, or they don't have elder care where the elderly can be taken care of. Well, people exist to do those things. You have to hire them and pay them. You can get a babysitter. You have to pay them. You can get a home aide to take care of your elderly parents, but you have to pay for that. It's not complicated. I mean, things cost money. There is no free ride. But I'm going to be tasked with saying, what is the problem with the messaging coming out of the Biden administration on this Build Back Better plan, infrastructure plan? So if you have any points that you would like me to raise with these young, to borrow a phrase from Rush, skulls full of mush, because these are college kids, then certainly I'd love to hear from you at 704-570-1110. As we get into the later parts of this hour, I'll certainly take your calls on that stuff that you want me to press with these folks. I think many of these young folks are able to be reached. I do believe they just haven't had it explained right. Because when you go to college, you have a professor come in and tell you that it's this way, this way, this way. And if you disagree, then you're going to suffer on your grade point average. Well, I'm a graduate, so I get to say what I want to say. And I have a talk show, and I get to say what I want to say. But I want to really press that case and explain to these young people, this is what's really going on. It's beyond messaging. It's about warping the economy. And that's not the way to go. What we need to be doing is encouraging people to start businesses, opportunities, things like that. That is a hugely, hugely important thing that we have got to understand. And I intend to press that.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Case tomorrow. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Great to be here with you. We cross the streams at this point each and every day, and Bo Thompson joins us now. Hello, Bo Thompson. Good to have you back.
Hey, happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you as well. You know, you must have been like, so you get up really early or really late, depending on what time of the day, you know, you want to look at it that way, right? Because some people would consider you're getting up when it's very, very late in the evening. But you get up very early in the morning. You're coming into the studio this morning, and you got to be riding that high from the Panthers win, man. Big time with Cam.
Yeah, not just the Panthers, but also the Hornets.
Yes.
I mean, what a day for Charlotte sports. I mean, we've made playoffs before, you know, in both cases, both the NBA and the NFL. But I have to say yesterday had to be the greatest regular season day maybe in Charlotte sports history, with both teams knocking off the, you know, King of the Hill in each respective league record-wise. In the same day, and as Oki was pointing out, it's like it was a doubleheader that you know set up perfectly for Charlotte sports fans, because you watch the late afternoon Panthers game, and then right as that finishes, they switch over and they're starting things at the Hive with Steph Curry and Golden State last night. I mean, it was just a stretch that I can't remember that much good happening at once in Charlotte sports.
So when you look at the game that Cam played, because I think this is an important story, because people that are real sports fans love redemption stories, comeback stories. I mean, it's one of those things that kind of drives you when you watch sports, or you dislike a player so much that when they come back, it fuels you to not want to root for them. You know, it's such an emotional up and down. Do you think that Cam is now able to keep that fire stoked and not burn it too hot? You see what I'm saying? Because obviously yesterday was a hugely emotional show. I mean, he was like a rock star. Everybody in America, I think, if you weren't a Cardinals fan, was pretty much rooting for the guy. How is he able to sustain that moving forward, do you think?
Well, I think the way they coached him yesterday, the game plan, was brilliant when it comes to that, because you know, some coaches might have had the tendency to ride the hot hand and keep the guy in there. I think, you know, Cam had some goal line plays obviously drawn up, and he even talked in his press conference about saying, hey, you know, I'm one of the greatest to ever do this. we should draw up, let me help you draw this up. But, you know, the whole playbook, there's no way he could have absorbed all that in just a few days.
Right.
And I think the fact that they sort of, they played the hot hand, but they played both hot hands yesterday.
Yep.
And P.J. Walker was huge, and Christian McCaffrey was huge. The defense was huge. I mean, they played it exactly as they should have. And I wonder, I mean, I guess the word is that Cam is in line to start coming up on Sunday. But, you know, I would I don't think fans would be critical if he didn't start. I think the game plan you had for this past weekend, given the fact that Cam's got to acclimate, you know, speaking of riding the hot hand, why don't you ride the hot hot playbook.
Yep. That's a great point. It's a great point. And I think it's going to be exciting to watch this as it unfolds for the back half of the season here and to see what ends up happening. It certainly felt like both sides of the ball were energized with the Panthers yesterday, without a doubt. Speaking of re-energized, President Biden signed his $1 trillion plus infrastructure package today. Kind of an odd setting out there outside at the White House in mid-November. It's windy, it's cold, and oh, it's getting dark. Kind of an odd setting for this, but what's the takeaway here? Do we now pivot to build back better? What do you think ends up happening with this move from the president?
Well, that scene on the South Lawn, and you're right, it was. It definitely was. I'm sure it wasn't comfortable out there, but this is what he was waiting for. He was going to have this photo op, if nothing else, right after last week.
That's right.
And we were talking about how long it was going to take to actually go through with the signing, but the implementation now. I mean, that becomes part of the story, and of course, getting the other package that he's working on through. But this is. I'm interested to see how long it takes to actually implement some of the stuff, mm-hmm. because that could, as you well know, become part of the story as well. Well, we signed this massive bill, but is it going to get bogged down and the whole country's at a gridlock right now with supply chain issues, so I wonder how all that's going to affect how fast some of this goes from what's on paper to what actually is going to help people.
It's interesting that you raise that, because I took a walk yesterday. My wife and I took a walk around our neighborhood, and a neighborhood adjacent to our neighborhood, we walked into there, and there are homes that are under construction.
Yeah.
But you could tell that the homes are under construction, but they're kind of paused for a minute, like supply chain issues, right? You need to get in more wood, or you need to get in more windows, or whatever it's going to be. But to look at that was very stark, and to think, wow, you put a down payment, you close, you buy in this house, and now you got to wait until maybe the spring for the stuff to get kicked loose so that you can actually complete the house. It's got to be a very frustrating situation.
No, that's a great point. Same thing going on in my neighborhood. I mean, there are five or six homes that have tear downs and rebuilds in the last year, and you're right. I mean, each one of them sort of goes through its start and stop, ramp up. There's a whole lot of activity, a whole lot of hammering, a whole lot of, and then all of a sudden you kind of notice, oh, wait.
Right.
The hammering's gone, and now it sort of sits dormant. I mean, a couple of houses, the grass gets long.
Yeah.
And it looks like almost like it's been abandoned, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, one day, they're back full force.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not been, the start to finish sort of, all right, they leave, and the next group comes the next day, and then we take over. It doesn't happen that way in 2021 so far.
That's very true. Very true. All right, finally, as we speak, Rittenhouse defense is making their closing argument. There'll be a rebuttal. The jury may get this case before too long. Any takeaway on this thing? I mean, this has been a spectacle, sort of in the same vein as what we saw with the Derek Chauvin trial just a few months back. What's your takeaway on this story? Is there anything that we can take from this?
Well, what I wonder is what's going to be the response there in Kenosha with really whatever the verdict is.
Right.
I mean, we have now. I was thinking about this earlier because I've been reading some stories about people there. Some people are in that area of Wisconsin boarding places up because they say no matter what happens, someone's not going to be happy with this verdict. And then I saw a news report earlier today where I was talking to somebody who's a business owner saying I'm not as worried about this as I was the last time there was there was unrest.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we don't see violence again. I will say that there have been a couple of times over the last year where I thought for sure there was going to be an outbreak, and there wasn't. So at this point, unfortunately, we have several different examples to think back on,
right,
of verdicts like this, and it is rather inconsistent. You don't always know.
Right.
So I'm sort of watching what the reaction is going to be around what the verdict is. I haven't seen I haven't gotten to watch as much of what's going on today yet. I'm about to do that and get ready for tomorrow. But right. It certainly is, here we go, tense times again surrounding what this is going to be.
That's right. Who you got coming up on the big show tomorrow, my friend?
Beth Troutman in the house tomorrow on a big Tuesday, and she will be with me from 8 until 10. Jim Zook, he'll be back. He was not here this morning because he was in transit back from Arizona. So looking forward to sitting down with him and going over his reaction to the big Cam the big Cam return. I mean, who would have thought it could have gone that way? And we'll talk about it further tomorrow morning and look towards the weekend with the Rivera reunion as well.
That's right. Good stuff, Bo Thompson. Enjoy the evening, and we'll pick it up tomorrow, my friend.
You too. Talk.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Ben.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. I am Brett Witterbull. Well, there's a brand new Gallup poll out that says the majority of Americans say that local crime is getting worse. And that's according to that brand new Gallup poll. This dismal outlook was terrible enough last year when Gallup showed 38% of people believed crime was up in their local areas. But this latest survey shows 51% of people are convinced that local crime is rising. It's a very serious issue. It's an issue that moves votes in a big way. And with all the pressure to defund the police movement and for the cops to stop being involved in fighting crime, what's going to end up happening? Well, I want to welcome to the program a new guest, Michael Letts. He's the founder of Invest USA. They're a charitable organization that donates bulletproof vests to police and other first responders. Welcome to the program, Michael. Appreciate you making time for us.
Well, we're delighted to be here and delighted that the job you're doing to make a difference in our nation and in our communities is very commendable. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. Look, it's never been, I think arguably, it's never been more dangerous and risky to be involved in law enforcement. Increasingly, there's violence at nearly every turn, cities, communities, local areas as well. Talk a little bit about this challenge, because if the majority of Americans are saying crime's getting worse, that means they need more police officers to help them out. But the politicians don't seem to want to do that.
No, they don't. It's actually part of a plan and a effort they've been doing for a number of years to remove the very last freedom that this country enjoys. One of the things standing in the way of them being able to do that, and I'm talking about making America socialist or Marxist, is our local and state police. And so they have targeted them over the last 15 years. They targeted them initially when Obama first took office. You recall the black Harvard professor that was attempting to get into his own home, but
Skip
his neighbors
dates.
Called
yep.
the police, and he felt like he was being discriminated against. So they issued the plea nationwide that law enforcement was racist, which, of course, when the black officers didn't go along with that, that didn't work out too well. So, but they tried to give us a black eye that we were racist and didn't care about the people that we were protecting. They went from there to not funding necessary equipment, which is where Invest was born, active shooter vests, bulletproof vests for our officers to make sure that they are properly taken care of. And then they went from there to defunding police altogether. That backfired on them pretty well. And then they went from there to creating policies and regulations that make it almost impossible for law enforcement to do their job. You're automatically viewed as guilty in whatever action you take until you can prove your innocence. And, of course, that's a difficult and challenging thing to do when seconds matter between life and death. And then now the final thing that they've done is to determine that officers have to have the mandated vaccination or they can't work and they lose all their pension and all their retirement. What a tragedy to treat officers who are heroes, especially when you consider 9/11 just 20 years ago. We were lauded for rushing in knowing we weren't coming back out.
Yep.
And now suddenly we're put into a light that we're the public enemy number one with bullet targets on our back. And that's literally what has happened. There's been an assault on law enforcement ever since. And that is why law enforcement has had to stand down. That's why so many are getting out. In fact, the national statistics show that within 3 years, less than 3 years now, there will not be enough first responders to answer the call when you make a 911 call. So what a scary thought that is for the citizens when you call 911 and you have to leave a message and somebody's trying to break through your front door.
Sure.
So that's the situation we're in today.
Talk a little bit about how communities can partner with you at InvestUSA to protect themselves and create more protected communities for those who are out there serving in some pretty dangerous situations.
Well, I asked them to go to our website, InvestUSA, that's InvestUSA.org. They'll find a litany of things that they can do, but let me give you three quick things
sure.
that every person needs to know. First of all, make sure that you understand who your first responders are in your community, because they are assigned to each and every individual community. Know who they are. Make sure that you tell them, thank you for a job well done, thank you for your service. If you're able to, maybe buy them their lunch, bring them some cookies. And then why is that it's so important? We have never had a time in the history of this country when the morale has been so low as it is with our first responders now. Imagine going to a job where your life is on the line every day, thinking you're unappreciated, underpaid, overworked. You get the point.
Yep.
So that's the first thing to do. Second thing is if you're able, donate on the site to make sure that you're able to, we're able to buy them the protective gear they need to come home safely to their families.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, I tell people, make sure you're armed. Make sure you have a firearm. You know how to use it, and you're trained. You will not be effective in helping to defend those and protect those who protect us if you can't protect yourself. So those are a few little tips to get started, but there's a litany of things on the website of programs that you can do to get engaged and to help our young people become the next generation of community servants.
InvestUSA.org is the organization that you are that you're in charge of. We certainly appreciate the service that you're providing and the service of our men and women in all aspects of the front lines. We appreciate you coming by, Michael, and look forward to visiting with you again.
We love it. We appreciate the opportunity you've given us, and thank you for what you're doing to make America a better place to be. And God bless America. Have a great evening.
Thank you. You as well. Absolutely. A lot to.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. Let's check in with Stan on the individual bank accounts. That's right, you heard right. Earlier in the show, we played the sound of Sally Amarova, who says that all the bank accounts are going to be attached to the Federal Reserve in her perfect world. What's going on, Stan?
Yeah, well, hey, nothing about Brett.
Yes, sir.
You said something about the communist Marxist system being of the devil.
Yes, sir.
And of course, you know, I'm writing the book, and I've done research, and these two planks in the Communist Manifesto, they are a centralized system of credit in the hands of the government, which is what the Federal Reserve is.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the heavy progressive graduated income tax.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of those work together in order to promote economic equity. The Federal Reserve is a monopoly. And basically what we're doing is we're playing with not monopoly money. And the IRS, what they do, they have the graduated income tax. So they have the capital gains tax, the estate tax.
Yes.
And people who are successful, they take more money from them. And the goal is to remove your capital so that you can only grow a business, buy a home, buy a car, do anything with borrowed money from the system where they get the interest and they control development.
Mm-hmm.
So until this country recognizes that fact and deals with those two issues, the economy will only get worse.
Well, here's the other problem, though, and we have to remember this, Stan. You're spot on in this regard. So this Build Back Better Act, this new thing, not the infrastructure we just watched that got passed, but this new thing that they're trying to pass, is going to cost $4.91 trillion, okay? And we're talking about this plan having its beak in every possible dish you could possibly imagine, right? So it's moving towards what you're talking about, where all that money is only going to be available at that level. The problem with that then is this. You are going to have a permanent superstructure of oligarchs in our country. The people that are going to make J.P. Morgan and Vanderbilt look like pikers, because the big tech folks, those people, Jack Dorsey's, et cetera, they're going to have aggregated all those billions and billions and tens of billions and maybe hundreds of billions of dollars onto their own end. And then they're going to wall off everything else because they control the messaging apparatus in the country.
But and it's no coincidence that in the infrastructure bill, that this is happening at the same time the infrastructure bill added 80,000 IRS agents.
Oh, for sure. Without it.
Intentional to promote what you're
And they're going after crypto at the same time.
Right, because crypto is market-based money.
Correct.
And people are flocking to that to get away from the monopoly money that they have.
I'm content. Let me ask you this, Stan, because you're a smart guy. You call on the show. We have smart conversations about economics. I have never been a guy, and I'm dead honest when I say this, I have never been a guy that got jealous of somebody having a nicer car, a bigger house, or whatever. I always take that, and I use that as motivation to work harder. I'm not a materialistic person, but what I'm saying is I believe you can achieve these things if you invent the better mousetrap, if you come up with a better service, if you come up with something like that. And so I think the great sin that we allow the socialists or the collectivists or whatever you want to call these people, the great sin there is this idea that envy can somehow justify your existence. It never can. You've got to use it as motivation to do better, to earn more, to do something else. And that is the great, the foundation of the great battle in our country is envy, I think.
And that's why they use the privilege thing to create that class warfare.
That's right.
Thank you, but I enjoy your show.
I appreciate you. Thanks, Stan. I appreciate you being on there. It's when you were a kid, and some kid in your neighborhood, you know, I don't know how old you were. There was something that was popular at the time: a bike, BMX, skateboards, video games, computers, whatever it is that you could use to measure some degree of success or wealth, or your family was doing good, or whatever it was. And, you know, there's some people that can afford a computer, some people couldn't afford a computer. There's some people that could afford a better bike, couldn't afford a better bike, what have you. I've always felt that should be used as a teachable moment with young people, not to envy and be angry at the person who has that, but to strive to go get that. That's the thing. You know, I worked with Michael Reagan for a period of time, the son of the stepson of the president. And I remember him telling the story, and I thought it was such a compelling story. So his mom saw that Mike wanted to get a bike. Mike said, "I want a bike." And his mom said, "Well, then you need to save up the money to go get a bike." So got a newspaper route, did that sort of stuff, and eventually was able, she got the bike for him. He paid her back. And she said, you know, you have got to work for what you get in life. And it's a very famous quote. You can read it in his biography. But he said when he talked to his mother, she said to him, my job is not to raise boys. My job is to raise men. And so the argument being that what you need to do is get out there and through your industry, your industriousness, you need to do the work that you have to do to get what you want to get. And what I always thought that was so interesting about that was his mom was an Academy Award winning actress, and his father was the president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, and was president of the Screen Actors Guild and the governor of California before. We have all these teachable moments to teach our kids, and I mentioned earlier that I'm going to go talk to a group of college kids tomorrow, and I'm sure there's going to be the envy and the social justice messaging and the you don't deserve it and all this sort of stuff. The fact of the matter is we can motivate the young people in our lives if we say to them, the fact that that man has a big house or that woman has a fancy car, that doesn't mean you can't have it. It just means that they do, and that you need to put in the work required to get to that place, whatever that work is, creatively, a business, a combination thereof, athletics, whatever it is. The fact that somebody has more money than you doesn't mean you can never have that money. It just means that they have that money right now, and you got to figure out a way to sell them a product that gives you some of that money that you earn. And I think if we, as people in this country, got back to those fundamentals, it'd be hugely important. It'd be hugely important to get to that place. And it's up to us to do that, because we shouldn't be raising a generation of envious young people who say, I can't do it. It's not fair. The system is rigged, yada, yada, yada. Got to make sure we raise that generation of kids that says, you know what? I'm going to try to do it and see if I can get something bigger and better. We'll continue the conversation tomorrow. Thanks to TJ and Josh and Boomer and Anna, Bo Thompson, and of course, each and every one of you will pick it up tomorrow starting at 3 News Talk 1110 993 WBT.